Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thereafter, having heard of the distress of Mother Earth, Lord Brahma with Mother Earth, Lord Shiva, and all the other demigods approached the shore of the ocean of milk. Purport. After Lord Brahma understood the precarious condition of the earth, he first visited the demigods headed by Lord Indra, who are in charge of the various affairs of this universe, and Lord Shiva, who is responsible for annihilation. Both maintenance and annihilation go on perpetually, under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya Sarunam Vinashaya Chatuskritam, those who are obedient to the laws of God are protected by different servants and demigods, whereas those who are undesirable are vanquished by Lord Shiva. Lord Brahma first met all the demigods, including Lord Shiva. Then, along with Mother Earth, they went to the shore of the ocean of milk, where Lord Vishnu lies on a white island, Sveta Deep. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksho Ummilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshvare Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the verses again. Gaur Bhutvasru Mukhi Kina Krandanti Kurunam Vibho Upastitantike Tasmai Vyasanam Samavochata. Mother Earth assumed the form of a cow. Very much distressed, with tears in her eyes, she appeared before Lord Brahma and told him about her misfortune. Brahma tad upadaryata saha devas taya saha jagama sa triya nayanas tiram shira payo nidehe. Thereafter, having heard of the distress of Mother Earth, Lord Brahma with Mother Earth, Lord Shiva, and all the other demigods approach the shore of the ocean of milk. Hare Krishna. So, here we're reading about Mother Earth, and she is instrumental in the appearance of Lord Krishna. But first of all, she assumed the form of a cow. So why did she take the form of a cow? Well, one reason is that approaching Lord Brahma in the form of the earth may be a little difficult. Also, the cow is a very humble, simple animal, and elicits affection and the desire in those who are gentle people, the desire to give protection. At least that's how it should be. But cows are very helpless creatures, really. Even though they're bigger than human beings and stronger, actually they're just totally dependent, really. They're at the mercy. So Mother Earth wanted to assume the form of a cow to elicit from Lord Brahma his merciful nature. And I'm sure it was a successful strategy. So I just thought, first of all, I would... I just looked up a few different references to Bhumi, to Mother Earth. And, of course, Bhumi is the predominating deity of the Earth. Also, Srila Prabhupada says that sometimes... the Earth is called Bharatvarsha, or sometimes Punya Bhumi, or Bharata Bhumi, like that. So another reference is that the Earth, Lord Indra, at one point, he incurred the sin of killing a Brahmana, who I believe was Vritrasura, and he suffered for 1 year with the sinful reactions for killing a Brahmana. But after that time, he found a way to dissipate his sinful reactions. And the way he did this was that he spread a quarter of his sinful reactions amongst various living entities, one of whom was the earth. The other was water, trees, and women. So unfortunately, women have may have a little grievance against Lord Indra for this. But in the case of Mother Earth, he gave Mother Earth a benediction. That benediction was that wherever there are ditches, they'll be filled with water automatically. But in return, the land, or Mother Bhumi, had to accept one quarter of this, of his sinful reactions. And his the form in which these sinful reactions took place was in the form of deserts. So now we have the earth, which actually quite a large part of the earth is desert. A lot of North Africa is desert, Sahara Desert. There's deserts in Southern Africa. Australia's mostly desert. There's deserts in America. There's deserts in South America also. So this was as a result of Mother Earth accepting a benediction and then having to receive some reaction for that. So that's one aspect. Now, another thing is, in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, it's explained how Bhumi, or Mother Earth, includes all the objects of sense perception. And so... For us, we have to have somewhere to live. We have to have a planet where everything is carried. All this arrangement of material nature is made so that we can try to live our lives. Without that, we would, I don't know, floating in space or something. So that wouldn't work. So therefore, the Lord has made this arrangement that we have Mother Earth. But it's up to us, it's our decision whether we treat this earth as our playground or as just an opportunity to serve the Lord. And Unfortunately, in this instance, or leading up to Mother Earth assuming the form of a cow and approaching Lord Brahma, there were many, most people, or at least most of the Kshatriyas were actually exploiting the earth, using it as their playground. And I'll come on to that in a little while. And actually, in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains that the basic principle of economic development is centered on land and cows. So that brings them together nicely, Mother Earth assuming the form of a cow. She's the land, she's the earth, and she assumes the form of a cow. So they're natural partnership. And that's actually all that we really need if we can just be satisfied with living on the land simply and looking after, protecting cows, like Lord Brahma was doing here, then there's no need for the exploitation of the earth. No need to dig huge mines and cut down all the forests, which is causing so many problems, just for the sake of generally satisfying the tongue by organizations which shall remain nameless, but are very common on the high street. So that's the basic principle. Another interesting fact about Bhumi is that she is an expansion of Satyabhama. So it's explained in the 59th chapter of the 10th canto that actually Mother Bhumi, she had a son. And those of you who are familiar with Krishna book will know that her son was Bhomasura, otherwise known as Narakasura. And unfortunately, even though he was her son and she's a very pious person, Mother Bhumi, he turned out to be, I think through bad association, to be a bit of a rascal. In fact, quite a serious rascal, actually. And actually, the way that he proved his rascaldom was that he actually... he stole, I can't remember, was it the earrings of Aditi? Something, anyway, from Aditi. I think it was earrings. Aditi's earrings. She's the mother of the demigods, Mother Aditi. So he stole. He also stole from Varuna. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai. Sri Sri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Sri Sri Gonitai ki jai. Yeah, he stole quite a lot of things from the demigods. I can't remember all the details of what they were. So anyway, he was becoming so unruly that he started to cause a bit of a problem. So Krishna went to deal with him, and he took Satyabhama with him. The reason why he took Satyabhama with him was because Krishna had given a benediction to Bhumi Devi that he wouldn't kill her son Bhomasura without her permission. And since Satyabhama is Bhumi Devi is an expansion of Satyabhama, he knew that she would give permission. So Krishna was he approached the place of, can't remember the name of the city, of Bhomasura, but it's given in the Krishna book and the Bhagavatam. Might have been, was it Kashi? I'm not sure. Might have been, I'm not sure. But there was a big fight going on, and then at some point Satyabhama got a little bit perturbed by all this. Oh, another reason why he took Satyabhama is because she has an adventurous spirit. So he thought she would enjoy, you know, having a bit of an adventure, excitement, dealing with a few demons. So, and which is true, she had that that kind of nature, or has that kind of nature. But anyway, at some point, it became a little bit much for her, and she says, kill him at once. kill Bhumasoma at once. So therefore, Krishna was at liberty at that point to deal with Bhumasoma in the way that he deserved. So Krishna just took his Sudarshan chakra and cut off his head, like that. So I just thought you might be interested in that little bit of history of Burma, of Mother Bhumi. another thing about Bhumi Devi actually is that here we don't hear what she says in this first chapter of the 10th canto. It just says that she appeared before Lord Brahma and told him about her misfortune. But there is there's two places where she does speak. One is in that 59th chapter of the 10th canto when Krishna came to kill Bhumasoma. But there's another chapter which is actually called Bhumi Gita, and that is in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so there's a few prayers about a few verses which she speaks, repeated by Shukadev Goswami. He, in the beginning of the 12th canto, Shukadev Goswami is giving the history, or let's say the foretelling of all the kings that come after Parikshit Maharaj. So he's going up to Nandi Maharaj. He says there's 1100 years from Parikshit Maharaj's birth to King Nandi, who is a very powerful king. And then he's given some of the symptoms of the age of Kali, which also Bhumi Devi, she explains in her Bhumi Gita. So the song of Bhumi Devi, I'll just give you a little taster of it. So Shukadev Goswami said, "Seeing the kings of this earth busy trying to conquer her, the earth herself laughed. She said, 'Just see how these kings, who are actually playthings in the hands of death, are desiring to conquer me. Great rulers of men, even those who are learned, meet frustration and failure because of material lust. Driven by lust, these kings place great hope and faith in the dead lump of flesh called the body, even though the material frame is as fleeting as bubbles of foam on water. Kings and politicians imagine, first I will conquer my senses and mind, then I will subdue my chief ministers and rid myself of the thorn pricks of my advisors, citizens, friends and relatives, as well as the keepers of my elephants. In this way I will gradually conquer the entire earth. Because of the hearts of these leaders are bound by great expectations, they fail to see death waiting nearby.'" So she continues in a similar vein. So you can see that Bhumi Devi is quite a realized soul. She knows what's going on. So I don't think these verses that she spoke were what she told Lord Brahma. Maybe they are, I'm not sure. It's not quite clear to me whether these are the actual words that she spoke to Lord Brahma, or whether this was at a later time. I'm not sure. It could be either. So there's about 13 verses that she speaks. So the main point that I've gathered from this, these two verses, is that... Twelfth canto, chapter 3. So the point is, she was very much in the same condition as Arjuna. Arjuna had tears in his eyes, his mind was just depressed, he was dropping his Gandiva bow, he was finding it very difficult to do his duty. So, in the same way, it says here, very much distressed, with tears in her eyes, she appeared before Lord Brahma. So, she's in a similar condition. She's having to carry the burden of so many demoniac kings. And she's feeling overwhelmed by this situation, just like Arjuna was feeling overwhelmed. But she knew, actually, she had, because she was obviously a very self-realized person, she knew what to do, just like Arjuna knew what to do. Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra, they didn't know what to do. They were facing... well, they were also in Maya, just like Arjuna was. But Arjuna was in Maya by Krishna's arrangement. They were in Maya because of their greed, lust, anger, all these things. So Mother Earth is more like Arjuna. She's actually facilitating the appearance of Lord Krishna. But she's also, at the same time, she's showing us if when we face difficulties, we face challenges in life, how we should deal with those challenges. We don't take matters into our own hands, for instance. Like, I'm sure Mother Earth is very powerful. Actually, she could just send a tsunami. She could have a few earthquakes here and there. I'm not sure exactly what's within her powers, but I'm sure she's extremely powerful. She's definitely able to withhold the produce from the land, or she can produce it. So I'd have thought it'd be within her power. Some hopefully philosophical speculation. That she could have dealt with this situation. At least she could have tried to deal with this situation on her own. But she didn't do that, even though she may have had the ability. Instead, she thought, better that I approach somebody superior. So therefore she approached Lord Brahma. And she selected Lord Brahma. Obviously she realized that he is a superior personality. And she thought, yes, I should consult with a superior person. So this is the first thing, that we should always, if we face difficulties in life, or we're faced with challenges, especially those from others, not to take the law into our own hands. Just like a lynch mob. There used to be lynch mobs in the past, in like America or something. Maybe even in this country, where people would just take the law into their own hands. They suspect, like, I think it actually happened recently in India. Somebody was killed, actually, by a mob. I won't go into the details, but and because they thought he'd done something which was reprehensible. And he may well have done, I don't know. But the point is, we cannot, it's not the process that we take the law into our own hands. So she's showing that. She could have done something herself, but she decides, no, better that I approach a superior person who can advise me what is the best course of action to do. So therefore she approached Lord Brahma and told him, revealed her mind in confidence. Guhyam akyati prichati. So revealing one's mind in confidence is a very important thing. Sometimes, actually, it's just enough just to do that. And then the problem doesn't seem so bad. Just revealing your mind, even if they don't provide a solution. Just to get it off your... Otherwise, what happens is it's like a pressure cooker. And if you leave a pressure cooker too long, you don't let the pressure out, it could explode. So the same thing like that can happen to us, that everything gets out of proportion, everything just comes to boiling point, or steam starts coming out, here it is. And therefore, you can't think clearly. So she did the right thing, and she revealed her mind in confidence. Lord Brahma, having heard from her, actually he decided to do something. He didn't decide just to hear and then, you know, leave it at that. Although sometimes that may be the best approach. But in this case, having heard of the distress of Mother Earth, Lord Brahma, first of all, the first thing he did was he consulted others. even his juniors, like he's actually the main demigod, the one in charge. But he even consulted in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says he first visited the demigods headed by Lord Indra, who are in charge of maintenance of the universe. So he consulted with them, and this also shows an important thing, that it's actually, it's important for us to consult. Even if somebody's consulting us, we don't just think, oh, automatically I can deal with it. Maybe it's such an issue that it requires further consultation. And getting also, because he consulted not only with the demigods who are in charge of maintenance of the universe, but also Lord Shiva, who is responsible for annihilation. So this means he was getting various points of views, not just one point of view, just go to the people who he thinks will support his point of view, but going to, because Lord Shiva is more in favor of annihilation, because annihilation has its place. Just like winter and summer. Winter is like a mini kind of annihilation. Everything, in nature starts to shut down. But then it gives the opportunity for purification and for the earth to regenerate come springtime. So annihilation is an important aspect of nature. So he's looking at all different perspectives on this situation. He's consulting with others and looking at all different perspectives. And then finally, having consulted, they all together went to meet to the shore of the ocean of milk to consult with the Lord. So that's the situation we've got to, that they're all going to request the Lord to appear, and they are instrumental. Again, the Lord Brahma and the demigods could have probably had a war or something, like quite often they do go to war against the demons and things. But they decided not to in this case. They felt it was better to actually go along with the plan of the Lord, so therefore they wanted to consult the Lord. So it's 5:30, and there's a lot more that could be said, but we run out of time, so if there's any questions or additions,